I need to get going, and I know you're not willing to come with me today.
No, I'm not.
But will you at least please consider this? For the sake of your own soul, peace, rest, and for the sake of verifying and testing your own faith to make sure that you have a true saving faith in Christ, like I thought I did for 20 years, will you please at least watch these videos when I get them finished so that you can really give consideration and hear more about these spiritual principles that I have found in Jesus and these faith walking principles I found in the Bible to get me through the fears that you're having now?
Yes, of course I will. You know I'll do that.
Do you promise me?
Yes, I will. Okay. I promise you.
I love you, brother. I'll see you later. While filming this project over 21 days, by the grace of God, I climbed a total elevation of over 10,000 feet, the equivalent of 8 Empire State Buildings. I shot over 300 videos and recorded over 40 teachings for the Old Lost Trail, featuring the main stages and principles that I recorded from my own actual experiences of walking entirely by faith for the last 16 years. This is an urgent spiritual call and trail guide for those very few who truly want to get off the counterfeit ski lift Christianity and walk the old lost trail to abundant life in Jesus Christ. Welcome to Heavenly Mountain in the Lake Tahoe State Line, Nevada area. I'm sitting out of season on a ski lift. If it were in season and if I were skiing, I could take this ski lift with ease, enjoy a nice comfortable view and ride. 2 to 3 other of these would get me all the way to the very top of Heavenly Mountain here in Tahoe, which is around 10,060 feet above sea level. Now, if you'll stick with me, and I hope you will, you are going to get to join me from here all the way up to 10,060 feet, but we're not going to be going the comfy couch way. We're going to be going the way of the old lost trail. These, and actually these, and that big hill behind me. It was a few weeks ago, Lisa and I were watching people go up the gondola at a very, very popular place called Heavenly Village, right off of Lake Tahoe. It's a beautiful place, fun to walk around. They have a really nice gondola there. And as I watched people getting in this gondola, going to the very top of the mountain, I looked at Lisa and I said, that is modern Christianity. That is easy believism. That's the kind of Christianity that people want. Something easy, something enclosed, something resistant to the environment, something that keeps you out of the sun, something that takes away all of the pain and suffering that you will have in your knees, in your hips, in your rear end, in your thighs, your quad, your calves, your ankles, and your toes, on your way up the way that people for thousands of years made their way up. And as I was sitting looking at that gondola, and then as I've seen several of these ski lifts around where we're staying, I wondered, how did people ski before there were ski lifts? And so I literally did a little bit of quick research online, thanks to Google, and I found out that before the ski lifts opened up skiing to city folk, it was really only the adventurous mountaineer or athlete who could actually take skis and hike up the mountain to enjoy the sport of skiing. The thrill of being able to come back down the mountain in all of its glory, having first put in all that effort to get to the top. And I thought to myself, wow, I bet you the purists, the real mountaineer adventure people, I bet they have a prejudice against these. I bet they don't like the fact that their favorite activity, skiing, was opened up for just anyone and everyone to suddenly be able to do. And so as I read more and more research, indeed, it turns out that the very first ski lift was not created until 1936. And believe it or not, this is very strange. It was created by a man who worked for the Pacific railroad with the idea that, hey, we could get more people to ride the train if we could make it easier for people to enjoy skiing as part of tourism. And sure enough, these two men basically came up with the technology and the idea from railroads in order to create the first ski lifts. And well, the rest is history. If you've ever been skiing, there's thousands and thousands of people that do it. The president of the skiing association was quoted as saying that, you know, this technology opened up skiing to everyday people, that it was no longer restricted to people who didn't have the physical stamina in order to be able to get to the top of a mountain in order to enjoy the skiing experience. You might imagine the more that I gave thought to this, the more I realized how much this is an absolute remarkable illustration for the Christian life. And I'm going to be talking to you more about that as we head up to the mountain, using a real, genuine, old-fashioned, old trail hike up the mountain as a metaphor to describe what the true Christian life and walk by faith with Jesus Christ is. Today, just as there are millions of people that now have access to the top of the mountain and the thrill of skiing by these, I tell you, there are millions who have access to a fake mountaintop experience with Jesus through what we call today the modern church. The modern church is remarkably similar to ski lift or chairlift Christianity.
History shows clearly enough that true spirituality has never at any time been the possession of the masses. In any given period since the fall of the human race, only a few persons ever discerned the right way or walked in God's law. God's truth has never been popular. Wherever Christianity becomes popular, it is not on its way to die, it has already died. Popular Judaism slew the prophets and crucified Christ. Popular Christianity killed the reformers, jailed the Quakers, and drove John Wesley into the streets. When it comes to religion, the crowds are always wrong. At any time, there are a few who see and the rest are blinded. To stand by the truth of God against the current religious vogue is always unpopular and may be downright dangerous.
You go to these buildings today without even knowing it, and they say, bring yourself, we'll give you a comfortable chair, we'll put coffee in your hand, we'll offer you childcare, we'll provide all of your sermon, we'll do all of your teaching, we'll lead you in your singing, and we'll do almost everything for you, including entertain you while we whisk you to the top of the mountain and to all the glory that waits you there, because God loves you so much, where Jesus is standing there with open arms waiting. And my brothers and sisters, for 20 years, I was a ski lift Christian. And I thought that me showing up at that building every week and doing a few little good things throughout the rest of the week was pleasing God to no end, because I had faith and I believed in Him. I did a message a few years ago that said, if your Christianity is not the hardest or most difficult thing you've ever done, it's most likely not a Christianity that can save you. My goal with this video is for you to walk with me in this illustration, this metaphor, this prophetic picture of what it means to be a Christian, and that you will examine, first of all, your faith. Are you a chairlift Christian? Or are you an old lost trail Christian? Remember, the Bible tells us in several ways that unless we, as an athlete, compete in accordance with the rules, we will be disqualified for the prize. Jesus said in John chapter 10 that anyone who tries to enter except through the gate and tries to climb over the wall in another way is a thief and a robber. Thinking of those principles and many more, I want you to join me on this journey. And let's go back and let's look at just how difficult it is to truly be a Christian, and why, throughout the entirety of the Bible, almost everything significant that ever happened, happened on or near a mountain. Whether it's Moses and the Ten Commandments for 40 days on Mount Sinai, whether it's Aaron and Moses being buried on mountains, whether it's God speaking to the Israelites and revealing himself for the very first time on a mountain, whether it's Abraham being called up to mountains to sacrifice Isaac, or it's Jesus himself regularly going up onto a mountain to pray, and then finally for his second coming, descending back down upon a mountain. Mountains are all over the Bible. They're there for a reason, and God has powerful, rich meaning in them. And I want you to see today that a mountain for the last 10 years of my life has looked like one of the closest illustrations I could possibly come up with as to what it truly looks like to be a faithful, cross-carrying, self-denying, world-hating, faith-walking Christian. Brothers and sisters, this is difficult. I want you to focus on how difficult it is. We always think about the rewards and the goody-goody gumdrops and the little blessings and the pleasures and the comforts along the way, and there are some. But you need to be told in this day, if you're riding one of these to the top of your Christianity, that the true Christianity that will save your soul is far more difficult than just sitting in this thing while some guy sitting in that booth over there hits a button and whisks me to my delight to the top of this mountain. That may get you to the top of the mountain and you can enjoy the beautiful Lake Tahoe views. You can enjoy the thrill of skiing and the sun and the wind and the snow in your face. But I promise you, you will never have a ski lift take you to heaven. If you have ski lift Christianity, please humble yourself. Come along with me for the journey. For those of you who have already rejected ski lift Christianity, please join me on this. It's a journey that is the most exciting adventure that you can ever take, a life of faith. And maybe you'll see where you're at in your journey, but more importantly, maybe you'll be encouraged to continue in it. If at any point along the way, you've been stopped, you've felt frustrated, and maybe tempted to turn around and go back because it's difficult. Come with me. We're going to head from here all the way to the very top, the pinnacle of the mountain, the pinnacle of your faith, where Jesus Christ waits for you with his goal for your life, fullness in Jesus Christ. God bless you. Now, come on, let's go do this. It's going to be hard. I'll do all the heavy breathing. You just do the patient watching, okay? We'll see you at the top. Many godly men long before me made the same remarkable connection between climbing a mountain and finding the abundant life in Christ. Charles Spurgeon wrote, "We ought not to rest content in the mists of the valley when the summit awaits us. Rest no longer satisfied with thy dwarfish attainments. Aspire to a higher, a nobler, a fuller life, upward to heaven, nearer to God." J.R. Miller wrote, "Not many of us are living at our best. We linger in the lowlands because we are afraid to climb the mountains. The steepness and ruggedness dismay us, and so we stay in the misty valleys and do not learn the mystery of the hills. We do not know what we lose in our self-indulgence, what glory awaits us if we only had courage for the mountain climb, what blessing we should find if only we would move to the uplands of God." Charles Stanley wrote, "God created us to climb. We must move upward to fulfill the Lord's purpose. The lowlands are filled with Christians who have settled for a safe existence rather than the challenges of following Christ up the mountain of his will. Others started to ascend, but then stopped partway up. They've been living on a comfortable plateau ever since. God is calling you to move upward."